death throw eavesdropping. So here's the thing. We are on word number six, the sixth crossword from the Bible. And so this week is a special week in that we have two words that we're going to share. So this Sunday, today, we're going to share crossword number six. And then this coming Friday, Good Friday at 7 p.m., we want to invite you to come out, and I'll be sharing the seventh and final word from the cross. And so we're going to have a Good Friday service, and I don't know if we normally have that, but it's going to be a shorter service. We're going to have one or two songs, and I'll be sharing my message, and I want to invite you to come out and be a part of that. If that's something you want to do and be a part of, I think we need to be together as the church on Good Friday. And so we'll be concluding this series this week, but this series has been the seven words that Jesus spoke from the cross. The first word was one down, absolve. When Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. He was absolving us from our guilt and our shame. To a cross was emancipate. He says, truly today you will be with me in paradise. Talking to the criminal on the cross who said, remember me when you get into heaven. And Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. He emancipated him from his guilt and shame. Three down was affiliate. Woman, here is your son. Here is your mother to the disciple, he says. Four across was abandoned. My God, why have you forsaken? And then last week, we talked about five across, which was this idea of distress. And we saw in John 19, 28 and 29, says, later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that Scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. And what we pointed out, church, was that Jesus realized that the end was coming. And that after 6 hours he had been on the cross, and that things had now been completed, knowledge of the conclusion. And so he asked for a drink. He asked for a drink to fulfill the scriptures, to complete the mission. He knew that he was on the road to the resurrection, and he wanted to complete the entirety of the mission. And we mentioned last week that this idea of thirst was far more than a physical request. I mean, we know that it was more than a physical request because here's the thing. When Jesus was whipped in the back, he didn't say, oh, my back. Or when the crown of thorns was placed on his head, he didn't say, oh, ouch, my head. It wasn't a physical pain. When he was thirsting from the cross, even though he had been dehydrated and it was basically physically dying, it wasn't a thirst that was physical. There was a beyond a physical thirst. And we pointed out that thirsts are really a distress. Things in our lives that distress us are the things that we thirst over. And the point I want us to really recognize as we launch into the sixth word from the cross is that Jesus' death on the cross, think about it this way, was digging a well. That when he was on the cross, it was digging a well. And that when this well was dug, Jesus rose from the dead. He springs forth with living water. So it had to be dug down. And think about that. If you would just take a look at your distresses, if you take a look at your struggles in your life, and you would see them as the heavy equipment that God is using to dig the living water well in your life. That hurt, that disappointment, that thing you don't understand, that failure, eventually and ultimately through the cross of Jesus Christ, not only are you victorious, not only will it work out, but it is your identity that you are victorious, not just in your life, but that is who you are. You are identified as a victor. And so when we think about the distance between I am thirsty and his sixth and final or sixth word from the cross, which is found in John 19:30, it says this. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Church, I think the entirety of the cross words are summed up in this sixth word. It is finished. Now, this is not a message of defeat. It's not just saying, "Hey, listen, you guys beat me, you got me, you won, it's over." This is not a message of defeat. This is a message of victory and triumph. And so six down on our crosswords is the word triumph. Jesus is victorious. I want to put a disclaimer out here, and I don't mean to disappoint anybody, but here's the disclaimer for this message today. The danger in this message this morning is for me to try to add something or to complicate this message or to try to accessorize what is a very clear and simple message. It is finished. On the cross, Jesus is declaring triumph. He's declaring victory. And all we need to do today, we don't have to try to be creative. We don't have to try to make this better than it is. All we need to do is just illumine the simplicity of what is so powerful that what Jesus did on the cross, he completed something for us. That is very simple, the message this morning. It is finished. I mean, there are some great winning phrases in this world. How about this one? Bingo. Well, you know what that means. When I say bingo, you know what it means. It means I won. How about checkmate? I won. How about this one? When the judge says not guilty. That communicates so much. Hey, flip it over. How about when the man's on his knee and he says those beautiful words and the woman comes back with yes. He won. Like it's good. Goal. Score. Right? But the greatest of all time is this idea of it is finished. It's not a moan of defeat or a sigh of resignation. It's a word of victory. Tetelestai. Done. That's what it means. Actually, it is finished is three words in English, but it's actually only one word in Greek. Tetelestai. It means done, over, completed, paid in full. When the farmer would find the perfect sheep, tetelestai. When the debt was paid in full, tetelestai. When the finishing touches were applied to the flawless masterpiece, tetelestai. When the work had been completed by the servant, he would walk up to his master and say, tetelestai. Completed. Done. See, what we need to know about this word in Greek is that it's in the perfect tense, which means it's a completed action with ongoing effects. So something that has been done in the past that continues on being true. The spiritual transaction that was completed on the cross by Jesus was a powerful event in history that has eternal consequences. And what the ramifications, what the truth of that is that Jesus was the sin bearer. He was forsaken. He had the guilt and the wrath of God on his life. And at that moment, he completed the transaction. Mark 10:45 says this, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." That's why Jesus came. He came to make this spiritual transaction. Church, I want us to understand that this act sacrifice of Christ on the cross, it completed what we needed. It does not need to be supplemented. It never needs to be repeated. It will at no point in the future ever lose its effectiveness. And it's not gradual. It's not something that we have to work up to. It's not something that we have to achieve. It is tetelestai. It's done. It's finished. So we ask, what is finished? It is finished. That sounds really profound, but if we don't know what's finished, then we wouldn't know what the benefit is. And so let me just go down in a little bit of a systematic way and tell you what's finished. The first thing that's finished is that hate, evil, and malice had taken their best shot. Everything the world had, everything that evil had, everything that hate had, everything that was the darkest of the world had, they threw at Jesus on the cross. That was over. Jesus' physical time of suffering and torture was over. The scourging was over. The beating was over. The spitting was over. Mocking, nailed, stripped, drinking God's wrath. The shame, the judgment, it's all over. Jesus' life work is over. He was born, humbled, tempted. He preached. He did miracles. He had anguish in the garden. He had opposition. He had temptation. And now he's being crucified. But it's over. The mission is over. The scripture is fulfilled. The sacrificial system that God had set up, it's over. God, from all the way back at the beginning in Genesis, had set up this system that how the people, the sinful people, were going to reconnect with God was going to be through this sacrificial system. So what we're going to do is we're going to get an animal, and we're going to kill the animal, and then we're going to give this blood on the altar, and that's going to reconnect us with God. And then we're going to sin again, and we're going to mess up again, and we're going to get more animals, and we're going to kill them, and we're going to spread the blood. And when Jesus goes to the cross and he says, it is finished, he's saying, listen, no more sacrifices. This is the one and once and for all atonement. This is the once and for all sacrifice. Hebrews 10:11 tells us that day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duty. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. And Jesus is saying, it's finished. I have taken away the sins. The very thing that was a shadow. Think about this with me. Stay with me for a second. So when they kill the animal and they spread its blood, and this blood is the atonement for the wrongdoing, and then now God is he's pleased with us because we've given blood, that was just a shadow of what Jesus was going to do. And so now there's no need for the shadow. There's no need for the invitation because the substance is here. Amen? The other thing that is finished is the devil's authority. And church, if we can get this one, this in and itself will change the way you live. The devil's authority is over in your life. Now let me explain this to you. Because what you're saying is, wait a minute, sin is still available. Now I didn't say sin is gone. I said sin has no power over. So its power is finished. Its presence remains. And so you don't have to sin anymore. See, for prior to Jesus Christ, we had to sin. We had no choice. And when Jesus said, it is finished, he's saying, now, though the presence of evil will remain, the power is no longer. And so I want you to know that when Jesus said, it is finished on the cross, he said, you are free from the power of sin in your life. You no longer have to sin. And so when we hear the words, it is finished, it's the end of our sin and our guilt. He paid for our redemption. He performed it for our righteousness. He accomplished the Father's justice. And the results are our victory. So if you're sleeping, you want to wake up. Because now we're going to apply the truth. And here's the application. Wherever and with whomever you have fallen short with in the past, Jesus said, it is finished. Those things in your life that seem to be a seemingly insurmountable defeat, that misunderstanding, that temptation, that hurt, that fear, that trouble, that overwhelmed feeling, that disappointment, that depression, those habits, those addictions, those broken relationships, those humiliating failures, those injustices, this unfairness, those medical diagnoses, that debt, Jesus said from the cross, it is finished. Maybe not the presence of it, but the power. It no longer has to rule and reign in your life. 2 Corinthians 4, 8-9 says, we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. Why? Because Jesus said, it is finished. The presence of our troubles have not changed. They have not left us. But I want us to know that when you are found in the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you are no longer powerless to your circumstances. You have power to overcome. Church, when Jesus went to the cross, it was not about bad people becoming good. It was about dead people becoming alive. Do you understand that? That Jesus coming and going to the cross is not trying to make a better version of me. He's not just trying to clean me up and make me a little bit more presentable to the world. He's saying, listen, you were dead in your sin. You had no way out of the trap of sin. And now through the cross of Jesus Christ, I have now made you alive and you have the power to live as I will tell you. That's the difference between religion and relationships, friends. See, religion says try hard. Relationship says triumph. The kids tell me all the time that they have this thing that, like, well, I'm not gonna be a try hard dad. Try hard. Like, that's like the phrase the kids say to each other now. He's such a try hard. Like, what's that mean? Try hard. Can you explain that to me? What's a try hard? You try too hard. Well, wow, that was profound. Try hard. Well, what? Yep. My big fat no. Anything else? Oh, that's an even better one. Try hard or sweaties? Are you a sweaty? You get it? Like, when you're trying hard, you're sweating. Don't be sweaty. That is awesome. Don't be sweaty. Because Jesus Christ went to the cross, you don't have to sweat. Thank you. That was good. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says this. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Confess and believe. There's nothing sweaty about that. Right? That's the difference. That try hard and sweaties spell Christianity D-O or D-O-N-T. Do or don't. But those who are triumphing in Christ spell Christianity D-O-N-E. Done. Not do's and don'ts. It's done. It is finished. Not just once and for all the big sins, but the everyday struggles. They're done. The presence of them are not done, but the power is done. You can overcome every day because of Jesus Christ. I read of a story this week of a man who was talking to an evangelist that had come to his church, and he said, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" And the evangelist said, "It's too late." The man began to panic. He said, "It's too late. It's too late for me to be saved. What do you mean it's too late for me to be saved? Isn't there anything? Isn't there nothing I can do?" And the evangelist explained, "Too late. It's been done already. The only thing you can do is believe." So church, it's not about there's nothing more I can do. That changes into there's nothing more I need to do. There's nothing more you need to do to have the power and presence of God in your life. It's been done. Jesus has done it. He's made the payment. He's finished it. We cannot do. Isaiah 64:6 talks about our efforts to do. Listen to these words. 64:6 says, "All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all of our righteous acts," our righteous acts, we think we're so righteous, right? We think we're so good. "All of our righteous acts are like what? Filthy rags." Now listen, I took this shirt to the cleaners. I mean, we got extra starch on this. And he says, "It's filthy rags. Don't try to dress up for me. Don't try to step up to me and think that something that you're bringing to me makes you righteous. It's already been done. There's nothing more you can do. Jesus paid it all. And all to him I owe. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." In my mind, I sang that for you this morning, but I didn't. Because here's the thing, church. Are you with me still? Every other religion has the "more still to do" mantra to it. There's still more to do. The Eastern mystical religion, to get nirvana. You thought nirvana was just a band, right? To get nirvana, it cannot be achieved without many more reincarnations where individuals strive to improve their karma. There's more to do. Islam, many more works must be done to please Allah and gain his acceptance. Many of the Christian cults, there's additional work to do. And Jesus is saying, "It is finished. It is finished." 1 Corinthians chapter 15. "When the perishable has been clothed with imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true: death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." Church, I don't know how many of you send emails, but everything you'll ever do is a reply to what Jesus has already done. You will never send an original message of love. It's always in reply. You're always hitting reply. Your good works are not earning for you a single thing. It's a reply to what God has already done when he said, "It is finished." Jesus is enough to carry us safely through yesterday, today, and forever. And so I want to bring this in for a landing, and I want to tell you two more things. Number one, triumph cannot be added to. No matter what you think you can do, to add to your salvation, what you think you can do to make yourself more acceptable to the Lord, it's not ever going to work. Your hope, your comfort, your peace, your joy is entirely and exclusively the work of Jesus. Whatever we unintentionally add to the finished work of Christ mars the perfection and obscures the beauty of that work. Triumph cannot be added to, but I also need to let you know this, and if you really are asleep and you want to wake up, because this could help you this week. Triumph can never be subtracted from. See, a lot of us are, when we're honest, we're not really that sweaty. We're not that try hard, right? We really struggle a lot. And so we're not really necessarily worried about adding to our salvation. What most of us secretly are worried about is that we're subtracting from our salvation, that we're going to do something that's going to cause us to lose it, and that somehow God's not going to love us anymore because we stumbled that one more time. And I'm here to tell you that triumph, it is finished, cannot be added to, but it also cannot be subtracted from. Romans 8, 37, 39 says, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate us. No matter what. No matter what the content of your sin is. No matter the duration of your sin. No matter the depth of your sin. No matter how big the pile of your sin is. It cannot subtract from the triumph of Jesus Christ. Everyone, every time, for all time, stamped with tetadesta, paid in full. Someday you're all going to shout, and I'll know the Holy Spirit came. The anger, tetadesta. The gossip, tetadesta. Fornication, tetadesta. Lying, tetelestai. Disobedience, tetelestai. Pride, tetelestai. Bribery, tetelestai. Blank. What is it? What is it for you? I know what's stamped on. It's the same word that was stamped on the cross 2,000 years ago. Tetelestai. Paid in full. Jesus tells us from the cross, I have won. Triumph. This is the finished work. That's what it is. It's the finished work. Jesus said, it is finished. And so today, church, I want you to know that no matter what it is, or how long it's been that way, in Jesus, the power and the presence is finished. It's finished. It's finished. And so I want to encourage you that in this Holy Week, as we begin this Holy Week together, the worship team can come back and get ready to lead us in a song. This Holy Week, I want to encourage you. There have been many of us through this Lenten season have been fasting on Wednesdays. And so we've been fasting lunch on Wednesdays, just honestly asking God to help us better understand the road to resurrection. We knew from the beginning that we were looking beyond the cross. We spent 7 weeks looking at the crosswords because we knew that crosswords were not death words. We were simply death row eavesdropping, right? We were just looking and listening to someone who was dying but was offering life. And so I want you to, if you haven't been with us on Wednesdays, take lunch on Wednesday and find a quiet place and just spend time with the Lord. Listen to what He has to say. Listen to what the significance of "it is finished" means in your life. I mean, come on, think about that. Could you just take 30 minutes and just think of things? Let your mind just run for 30 minutes. And every time something comes, just say, "Tedavesta, it's finished." Oh, yeah, that's finished too. Oh, yeah, that too. Definitely that. Oh, yes, I forgot about that one. Yes, that too. It's finished. And then this Friday, I want you to come back and listen to what the Word has to say, the final words that Jesus says from the cross. We're going to have a brief time of worship and a brief time of in the Word, and we'll be here less than an hour, I promise. But I think it'll be good to be together on Good Friday. And then Saturday, I want us to get together at Penvale and be the church. Hello? Right? Be the church. Come out and be the hands and feet. The good news of Jesus Christ will be shared. And then on Sunday, oh Sunday, do not come to the resurrection alone. Bring somebody. Because here's the thing, little hint. The cross words, guess what they turn into on Easter? They turn into a crosswalk. The cross words turn into a crosswalk, and everybody knows what you do on a crosswalk. You go. You enter. You cross. You enter into, you go to the other side of. And church, I am believing, not because of me, not because of this church, not because of you. I'm believing because the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in me, lives in this church. I believe that there are people that will show up next Sunday, that will start Sunday morning on this side, and by the time they encounter God, they will crosswalk over to this side. Lives will be changed. The power of God's Word will be released in people's lives. And so don't come to the resurrection alone. In closing, we want to invite you to spend some time in prayer. We would like to begin to close our services in this way each week. And what we'd like to do is we're going to invite Pastor Chuck and Pastor Linton up. And myself will be up here. And if you're here today as we sing and you want to just pray about something. If there's something in your life that you want to pray about, you need someone to agree with you about. If there's some struggle that you have going on in your life, we want to pray for you. If there's something in your life that you don't believe that was finished and you want it to be finished, you want it to be true, what Jesus said from the cross is true in your life, we want to agree with you. We want to stamp that it is finished on it today. So give us an opportunity. We're not counselors. We're not going to counsel you. We're not going to have a long conversation with you. We're going to ask you, how can we pray for you? You're going to tell us, hey, I want this addiction to pornography to be finished in my life. We want to pray for that. Oh, are you allowed to say pornography in church? Oh, because the statistics say that many of us in this room are struggling with it. I know we're not supposed to talk about that. But what I want us to understand, that there are people struggling with things in this church that we can either stay in bondage to or you can get victory from. Either it can continue to define who you are or you can believe what the cross says about you. It says it is finished. Oh, I don't struggle with pornography. Well, neither do I. God deliver me. But maybe it's gossip for you. Maybe it's this. Maybe it's that. All I know is that it doesn't matter what it is because it's already finished. But God doesn't want you to live with it anymore. You're still living with the power. It still has power in your life. Either we believe it or we don't. I mean, I'm talking like we believe it. I'm talking like it's true. If it's not, then it's not. But I believe it. All right, I've talked enough. Sorry, I only gave a few examples. I can give you more. Gossip. Did I say gossip? Gossip. Maybe people need to be delivered from gossip. A mean spirit. Some of us, Jesus might be living in our heart, but he's not on our face. You know? Someone needs to tell their face that they're a Christian. Like, I'm a Christian. I know I don't look like it. I'm now starting sweating. I really am sweating. Let's pray. Stand with me. Let's sing. Come forward. Let's have some time of prayer.